Therefore, I, for one, am rather jealous about exporting so much or sending away so much that we forget our own problems. I think the two in the long run will go hand in hand. Now, I have from Dean Rusk here a list of some of the things, some of the researches by which Illinois farmers, in the opinion of our experts, have been encouraged and helped by our work, and ways in which members of the family have been able to profit by these experiences. I'm no expert on these things at all. I can hardly read some of the technical terms, but I can understand one or two things here, and they relate to what I have just been saying. It goes back to the biblical expressions as to what is the relationship of productivity of the soil and the security and happiness of people. Well, here's a rather humble statement. If you feed chickens the right way, they'll be twice as big as they would be under another way. Now, don't ask me what ways those are. Now, that's contained in bulletin number so-and-so, and is based on the research work of Professor so-and-so. And the experts around here can tell you about that. Here are great fat chickens. They weigh a pound at 4 weeks of age. Even to me, that seems abnormal. And here's what happens to pigs fed right. 70 pounds at 8 weeks. I had a boy that weighed 70 pounds at 8 years, and we thought he was pretty good size. And then there's a study going on, as you know, of the detasseling of corn. Now, I have a feeling that this particular study is in those who are trying to increase, is in the hands of those, and the brains of those trying to improve the corn production. I don't know what the Detasselers Association of the state will say, because if this works out, you won't need them. They're going to lose their jobs. And you're going to be able to, with this drug, to suppress the shed of pollen and therefore make it unnecessary to carry on a lot of rather boresome, I should judge, rather laborious operations. That's contained in this little memorandum. Then there are 270 prominent new inbred lines for resistance to corn borers and corn diseases. Any layman can understand that. That if there are any enemies we have, they're certainly contained in the insect and fungus and bacteriological world. Almost none of them seem to be friendly to the farmer or to the consumer. And therefore, all of us know that somehow you can bring these things under control. You will have done a better job, acre for acre. And there are only so many acres, and there is only so much soil. We all know that. Of course, I heard Dr. Stakeman say last year, a professor at the University of Minnesota, that some of these insects, some of these viruses, perhaps some of them are as small as that attack plants, are rather cunning. He says he's looked around the wheat fields of Minnesota in the last 2 or 3 years and discovered diseases which are old-fashioned, which were there when he was a boy, and which the experts had taken out, various kinds of rusts. And now these little creatures have learned how to stand up against the most terrific drugging and to take on a new lease of life because somebody thought that particular problem was licked. I know something about our soil testing here, and as you do, approximately one-third of all the soil testing in the United States was done in Illinois, and I should think that would be something we might be proud of. I know something about our new work on forestry, and have actually seen, as I doubt most of you have, the new Funk Forest Natural Area, containing trees that are 400 to 450 years old, perhaps the last stand of virgin timber in the state of Illinois. Then there are statements here about the work in dairying, the production of milk. There's a description of our new Department of Food Technology, which is a great story in itself, and I hope you get a chance to see what's going on there. a brief statement about our new veterinary college. As you go along Pennsylvania Avenue, you will see the main structure arising. It's been slow. It's been a rather hard winter for buildings, for building construction people. But it is moving on, and we hope to have it done sometime in September. To administrators, it's a discouraging process. The minute you get it done and occupied, it's overcrowded. You hardly get the men in there before they look around and need another building. Well, we have another building in animal science, and maybe we can work out a good relationship to them. And we have some very interesting relationships with our natural history surveys and so on. So that I should say that Illinois is looking up in this extremely important area of the care and protection of animals. And I know, too, as a layman, that many of the things that happen to animals, some of the worst diseases which afflict them, have a way of afflicting women and children and men as well at all levels with the diseases which are about as fearful as anything that come to us more directly. So there we have, in these researches and in this rather small crop of students, but this highly selected crop of students, our very first crop in Illinois, another first for the university, and something which I am certain will pay great dividends. There are notes here on our publications, pamphlets, press, radio programs, and you know them better than I do. I have had only one idea about them myself, and that is that they should be readable, they should be attractive, they should be expert. I think it's wrong, for example, for a seed catalog to be so much more interesting than an extension bulletin. If the people who have to make their living out of selling these things can afford color occasionally and reasonably good size margins and good print and graphs and all that, then I should think our own people could too. So within our limits, we have encouraged them to improve the quality of the paper, of the print, of the way of showing it. We've encouraged the use of audio-visual aids. We've been liberal as we knew how to be with our travel funds for Farm Bureau and Extension work. We bought more cars than I ever thought the university could or should own, and we try to keep them on the road all the time. I hope that you, as you get these things, or as you look at the total bill, I hope you realize what we're doing. To me, the most expensive bulletin, the most expensive pamphlet or brochure is the one that isn't read. That used to be true, so they tell me, of Department of Agriculture publications. I used to go around on a certification committee for colleges and universities to see whether or not they lived up to standards. We don't do that so much now. And one of the standards was the kind and number of publications in the libraries. There must have been somebody in Washington who had a tremendous fund, because when you found a run-down little college that wanted to expand abnormally the number of volumes in the library, then you'd find all these agricultural records going back to 1860-something, great bindings, and much dust all over them. But we've come a long way from that. I think the radio has made it absolutely necessary for us to do it, and I think that the reform was overdue. Finally, I want to mention, as just a last word, some of the opportunities, just one set of opportunities in instruction. What I have been mentioning are some of the actual applications based on this overall research idea and this overall instruction idea, but I am impressed every time I read it with this report of the Home Economics Division. This particular one is called a Handbook for Home Economics Students. I wish you could all get a copy of it. Here I go, spending some of the state's money distributing, if we can, several hundred or several thousand copies of this booklet. But this shows what may turn out to be one of the great opportunities for during our defense efforts. And I speak of this great opportunity for women particularly. The men are going to go to training and service, if not to war. There's no question about it. Whether it's 24 months or 30 months, we don't know. The persons who run the home front, which may become the war front, will move into our industries, to some extent into our farms, into our marketing, distribution, teaching, nursing, public services of every type, will be the women, increasingly. Now, I don't say that because so many women are here, but because I'm on record for having made these statements over many years. Among other things, I hope that we establish here a women's ROTC, just to show you how radical a man can become. But here are 11 branches of home economics, and I find every one of them fascinating, and many of them should be of major interest to the men as well as to the women, including the first one. But professionally, they will be taken up by women. And you might say in a liberal arts fashion, by the men, or an auxiliary fashion as they work in social studies, so forth. The first is on the child and family. The second major is in foods and nutrition. And that's everything from biochemistry to the preparation of television and radio programs and the writing for agricultural and food journals. The next is the general program in home economics, hospital dietetics, household management, which affects everybody, which could not possibly be wasted by any girl who would take it and succeed in it, institution management of all types of institutions, residence halls, hospitals, cafeterias, social service, industries, and so forth, restaurant management, a special course that's been put in, one of the favorites, textiles and clothing, apparel design, which is clearly somewhat related to that, retailing of apparel and home furnishings, vocational home economics education. We have a tremendous shortage there. Those are 11 great branches which we are equipped to offer. We aren't as well equipped as we should be, and that in itself is another story. I wish I had time to tell you about our building needs, but I will give you a hint. If as you go around, say, in the Home Economics Building, in the Vere Hall, or as I say, even in the College of Veterinary Medicine with its new building coming up over the horizon, and begin to ask the questions, you will find certain shortages. In spite of the size of this campus, I believe you will be convinced that we need some new laboratories, we need some new space, we need to do a better job. We think we need to do a better job in teaching research too, but that's a little harder for you to get hold of in the few days you have with us. You can get at that better by reading the publications or by checking with the students, especially young men and women whom you know. I think I've laid out enough for you to do, and I think it's most appropriate that the next hour ahead for you, but not for me, is recreation. Thank you.
Friends, this past hour you've heard an address by Dr. George D. Stoddard on what the university means to the farm family.